You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, your host today, as Craig Mish is taking the day off from our show. I am instead joined by George Kurtz on a big day here in the world of sports. We are 24 hours away from the beginning of the NFL draft. Does look like Trayvon Walker is going to be the number one overall selection to the Jacksonville Jaguars. We had three, I think, pretty great games in the NBA last night. The Miami Heat closing out their series against the Atlanta Hawks. The Grizzlies with a dramatic come-from-behind victory against the Minnesota Timberwolves, including one of the best dunks I think you're ever going to see in a playoff game from John Morant. If you have not seen that yet, go ahead, do yourself a favor, go search on social media and find it. And the Suns get back on track with a huge game from Mikal Bridges against the New Orleans Pelicans. But George, I know you weren't watching any of that. You don't care about the John Morant dunk. You're just sitting there watching Luis Severino and your New York Yankees. I know you got to be basking in this Yankees performance right now. Joey Gallo finally hits a home run off of Jordan Lyles. You got to be feeling pretty good right now.
I'm feeling good. If you're about Yankees, they've won what, six in a row now or something like that. They beat Detroit 2 out of 3, swept Cleveland, beat Baltimore now. It's a soft part of their schedule, right? Got to take advantage of it. Got to take advantage of it with what the Yankees are doing here. So they're playing teams that really aren't expected to be in contention at season's end. Still, the final score of last night's game, 12-8. That probably can't happen. You know, Yankees have been under machine for most of the season now. I think they were at one point, they were 14-2 going into Saturday's game. They were, like I said, under. Then they break out. They scored 10 on Sunday, 12 yesterday. Are we seeing the Bronx Bombers again? That's what I'm starting to wonder here. Are we seeing this team really start to take off? Although I got to tell you, here, Davis, today, it is a miserable day here. The sun is out, but it's a football Sunday day. It is windy. It is cold. It is not a day I'd want to, not a night that I'd want to be at the stadium.
All right, so we have our headlines here. Ja Morant goes off. The Grizzlies rally in the fourth quarter to take a 3-2 lead against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Anthony Rizzo, 3 home runs against the Baltimore Orioles. Man, the Yankees guys, man, did they pad their numbers against the Baltimore Orioles, who absolutely stink. Unfortunately, Melvin Gordon will be returning to the Denver Broncos. I guess, matter of perspective, Melvin Gordon returning to the Denver Broncos will make Javonte Williams a little bit cheaper in drafts, but it remains to be seen. New coaching staff, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. we will see what the playing time split is like between those two guys. I am very curious how that works out. And Austin Matthews of the Maple Leaf scores his 60th goal of the season. He is the first player to score 60 goals in a season since 2011, the 21st player in league history to score 60 goals in a season. But George, this is the first time you've been on the program since the start of Major League Baseball, at least with me. I think you've been on with Craig once since the start of the season. So the biggest question I have to ask you is, what do you make of the ball right now? What do you make of the 20 parks that have humidors, right? We have power pretty much down all the way across the league, of course. You know, starting pitchers are not really getting that deep into games. So just kind of what have you made of this first 3 weeks or so of Major League Baseball up to this point?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's surprised that starting pitchers aren't going deep into games. We expected that. 3.5 weeks spring training, that's enough for the hitters. That's not enough for the pitchers. And they baby them anyway in today's game, right? These guys are always babied. So no shock there. Now we're 3 weeks in, so now you're 6.5 weeks in. We should start building up to where it's a normal game, especially by the end of the month, right? So I'm not really all that worried about the pitchers. We've seen a lot of injuries. I think that's been a problem. Once again, you want to equate that to a shortened spring training. Not going to argue with you. It's probably what it is. The ball's a problem. I wish they would stop screwing around with it. All right? It's what they do every year. All right? Oh, too many home runs? We'll change the ball. We want more home runs? Oh, we'll make it harder. That sort of thing. So it's frustrating. And now you have what? I'm not a scientist by any means, but the drag coefficient is also, the ball's not going as further even when it is hit for whatever reason. Is that because of the weather? You know, it's been cold here in the Northeast and up north here. Is it the ball? Again, a combination of both. But that's saying that's why another reason the ball's not traveling, because it's just the drag. I guess the wind of a lot, whatever it is. Like I said, I'm not a scientist. You can go. The ball's not traveling. Is that because of the humidor? You know, maybe the humidor needs to be adjusted. Maybe the humidor doesn't need to be adjusted for each separate city, Davis, but just for a balance overall, an average. You know, the humidor doesn't need to be adjusted for Coors Field, but when an average or a major league ballpark, keep all the humidors the same. I wonder if they have to do something like that. You know, whatever. They're going to keep screwing around with this. Personally, I thought the game was fine 10, 15 years ago. Stop screwing around with things.
Yeah, I think you raise an interesting point, which is, you know, one of the things that we all kind of like about baseball is every park kind of has its own little thing, right? You know, Yankee Field has the short porch. You know, Fenway has the Green Monster. We have the Coors Field thing going on. We have the huge outfield and the Coliseum. And, you know, I think it's fine for the field dimensions to be different, but for the, you know, actual density of the air to be different in every Major League Baseball stadium, I don't think.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
That makes a ton of sense, and I think that's something that baseball is going to have to legislate here pretty soon. But guys, we have a jam-packed show for you. We're going to cover some of the guys, some of the running backs in the NFL draft who we expect to be selected on day two. And then Dubs is going to join us to talk the world of golf here in a little bit. And of course, we are going to end it with fantasy or reality. So don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid with us for the next hour. Davis Maddock and George Kurtz here with you. And we'll see you back in a few moments as we head into break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. If you're missing Craig Mish, you can catch him a little bit later here on the network today as he is subbing in for Scott Farrell on Farrell Coast to Coast. As the NFL draft is 24 hours away, we are going to take a look at some of the running backs we expect to go on day two of the NFL draft. That's rounds 2, 3, and 4. I would not be surprised to see zero running backs go in the first round of this NFL draft. I think the one guy who potentially might go in the first round is Breece Hall. Seems like the Buffalo Bills might be interested in him at pick 25. But if the Bills don't take Breece Hall then, I think we might see a team trade up for him in the second round, or we just might see some of these guys fall. It's not a particularly impressive running back class. We have Breece Hall as the clear number one, Kenneth Walker the clear number two, and then kind of depending on who you ask, you'll get a different answer for who the third, fourth, fifth best running back of the class is. For me, it's likely Isaiah Spiller, the running back from Texas A&M. But George, we have three guys here to discuss who are not really a threat, I don't even think, to be second-round picks for a variety of reasons. The first one is Kyren Williams from Notre Dame. We were sort of impressed with what Kyren Williams was able to do at Notre Dame. He was a very talented player, 2 1,000-yard rushing seasons, 78 receptions in his sophomore and junior seasons. He did sit out 1 year to redshirt. The problem is Kyren Williams had probably cost himself more money at the combine than maybe any other player. It was really bad. He ran a 4.65 at 194 pounds, did not do well in the short shuttle or the three cone, didn't even do the bench press. So what are we making of Kyren Williams from Notre Dame? Do you see a fit for him, or do you think this is maybe a guy's name who we're going to have forgotten in a couple years?
Well, if you're putting it that way, yeah, I do think in a couple of years we won't be worried about Kyren Williams. I think you said it perfectly. He did cost himself probably a decent amount of coin here. Running backs get screwed anyway, right? You just said it. Maybe one gets taken in the first round. And by the way, if I'm gambling on this, I'll bet on zero. Right? I think even if Buffalo does want him, I think they'll just trade down. They'll just trade down in a couple of slots here, even out of the first round to go take them. Running backs aren't valued like they used to be. Teams know they can get them later in the draft, and it's also because, let's face it, for the most part, running backs, one contract and done. Right? You got 4 years, you get so many car crashes, what this position entails here, your body's just done. Very few running backs can really go on and on and on here, which is why, once again, I'm just playing the field here. I just assume Williams will be gone in a couple of years. I don't think he's a super stud at all here, where he's going to be, he'll be around forever. I don't know that anybody in this class is that kind of running back, by the way. I think it is a weak class here. And it's also the NFL. Davis, you know this. I know this. And it was a throwing league, passing league. Everything's geared. We want the football in the air. Get us the quarterback. This is, what, the third, fourth year in a row now where receivers are going to dominate a draft. Right, this is what every year, more and more receivers are coming out, which in my mind is why we're also seeing these receivers get traded, because teams are like, why do I want to pay $25, $28 million a year for a Davante Adams? He's great, yeah, but I can draft one. He's going to be 75% of Adams, and he's going to cost a tenth of the price, if that, and I can get 8 other players. It does make sense theoretically. It's just different positions. Running backs get screwed here.
Yeah, they really do. I anticipate we are probably going to see, I actually just bet this morning, I bet over 6.5 wide receivers to go in the first round. We have our locks, which are Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Drake London, and Jameson Williams. I think probably George Pickens, Christian Watson, and Jahan Dotson are also all going to go in the first round, mostly because of the needs for the specific teams that are picking in the 20s. The Chiefs have 2 picks, the Eagles have 3 picks, and the Green Bay Packers have 2 picks. With the Bills, by the way, the Bills have Jamison Crowder, but they they probably need another guy there next to Gabriel Davis and to Stephon Diggs. You know, their offense really does prefer, I mean, they play the most empty wide receiver sets. So them taking Breece Hall, I actually wonder if this next guy we're about to talk about, James Cook, is maybe a better fit for their offense. This is, of course, Dalvin Cook's younger brother who played at Georgia. The interesting thing about Cook is he kind of fits the modern NFL mold a little bit better. He never had a 1,000-yard rushing season at Georgia. However, I think guys who go to Georgia, I don't know if you can really hold that against him. He was in a backfield, for example, the 2019 Georgia Bulldogs had DeAndre Swift, Zamir White, and James Cook. All of those guys are NFL running backs. You know, Zamir White is going to get drafted as well. Kendall Milton is a guy who's hung on, you know, the bottom of NFL rosters, practice squad guy. He took some carries away from there. But the interesting thing about Cook is that he functioned as the receiving back. So, you know, if we remember the Sony Michel, Nick Chubb dynamic at Georgia, where Michel was the pass catcher, but he was never particularly explosive as a runner, still ends up going in the first round. Cook is, he's much more interesting to me than Kyren Williams. Ran a 4.4 at 200 pounds, 5.11. I think Cook is, I would not be surprised to see him as the third running back drafted in this draft.
Yeah, once again, you and I are on the same wavelength here. I agree. I think when it comes to a running back, we all assume that running backs can, you know, run, hit the hole here. So I don't really look for that. I assume that's, you know how to do that. So like a receiver who can catch. I assume you can catch the ball as a receiver. A running back need to do two things in today's game. One, need to catch the ball in the backfield. Really need to be able to do that. And even Derrick Henry, who was never used to be, he used to have hands of stone, but now he's learned how to do that. Make sure you need to be that kind of threat here, once again, passing game. And more importantly, third down, you have to be able to pick up that blitz. If you can't pick up that blitz, you're not going to go very far. You're not going to get in there. So I do like Cook as well. Plus, he's got the pedigree. You mentioned his brother, Dalvin. I kind of like that, by the way, because I think that means you know how to be an NFL player. You need to know what it takes you. I think this gives you a little bit of an advantage on the learning curve here. So I think he is a top three running back in this draft as well. Once again, not going in the first round. I don't even know if you're going in the second round. And like I said this, and I can't say this is not a knock on their talent. It's the position that gets nailed. It's running back is the safety of the offense. Safety gets, you know, people don't care about safeties on defense because it's a lot of teams view this as the least important position. You're not rushing the quarterback. You're not covering the receivers. You're not tackling the running back. You're a safety. You know, it just gets devalued. It's unfortunate, but hey, mothers, don't let your babies grow up to be running backs.
Yep. And then our final guy is just a stone cold first and second down grinder. He's huge. Zonovan Knight, 210 pounds, ran a 4.58, actually a 4.53 at the combine. You adjust that, kind of add a little bit of time. Scored a ton of touchdowns at North Carolina State. The issue was he was also in a split backfield and he was not the receiving back. I will say, George, though, my favorite first, second down grinder type running back who I think could go in the second or third round is Brian Robinson out of Alabama. Doesn't it just feel like Alabama running backs, if you go to Alabama and you start for a season, you get to go to the NFL. And that's just pretty much the way that it goes.
Oh, it's almost like when in doubt, go Alabama, right? When in doubt, okay, we'll take him, right? That's close. Oh, go Bama. You know, and I, once again, I'm not going to nail again. It does seem to work here, all right? But I think teams, when they go to running backs, by the way, there are no more, you know, that Emmitt Smiths, Barry's. You know how a running back does everything? You're going to have a committee. You know, you're going to have – you know, you mentioned it earlier, like Melvin Gordon went to Denver here. People are like, oh, if they're a Javonte Williams owner, oh, God, this is terrible. They were going to bring in somebody. All right, no one's going to handle this load alone anymore, so I wouldn't panic too much about this. But I think for NFL teams, they may be looking for a certain type of player. Do you want the receiving back, the blocking back, the guy in the first two downs, the third down back? What are you looking for?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, teams are going to draft the guys that fit their offense the best. Guys, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we will be rejoined by Dubs Anderson to talk a little bit of the golf this week, playing a new event on the PGA Tour. So we'll dig into that. See you guys back here in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined in this segment by Dubs Anderson, giving George Kurtz a little bit of a rest as we discuss the PGA Tour. And actually, real quick, before we get to the PGA Tour, I just wanted to get your immediate reaction to Manchester City, Real Madrid in the Champions League semifinal yesterday. It has to be, honestly, one of the best soccer matches I've ever seen. I mean, that game, 90 minutes up and down. It was unbelievable.
Sensational. Man City getting it done 4-3. And look, we've got another one there today, Davis. But for me, Man City, the team to beat, what's got my attention? The Premier League. We're getting right down to the business end of the season. Them and Liverpool still going head-to-head over there as well. So don't sleep on the football. So many other good sports going on. But the soccer, the Premier League, the Champions League, this is when it counts. The semi-finals. And look, they're going off here in a couple of hours, I think. Liverpool versus Villarreal.
Yep.
I don't know where I can go for this one. Maybe the over's 2.5. That's got my attention.
Yeah, I like that over as well. I mean, I think Liverpool can probably get to that over by themselves. You're right, though. I mean, there is so much going on in the sporting world right now. We are in between major championships in golf. The PGA Tour is playing a new event this week. We have baseball going on, the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs. Like, it's I have a lot of people on my Twitter timeline who are really interested in Formula One racing right now, and I'm like, I don't have the time. Like, I would love to know what you guys are talking about, but I can't fit a 3-hour race into my weekend viewing schedule right now. But a pretty interesting story on the PGA Tour right now is Phil Mickelson, who was, you know, kind of flirting with this potential Saudi Arabian golf tour, doesn't play the Masters, and now is seeking release from the PGA Tour. He's registered for the PGA Championship and for the US Open, but he is wanting to play in one of these LIV Golf Invitational Series, which are taking place in London in June. So, I mean, this is a whole different thing. So why don't you explain to the people a little bit what is going on?
Yeah, so look, two thumbs up. Mickelson, he's trying to make a comeback, and we knew this was coming. And he has to ask for a release from the PGA Tour to go and partake in the LIV Saudi Golf League. What is it, 10 events, 2 starting over there in Europe. Back-to-back there. We've got 20 guys who have already committed to playing. We're still getting the names filtering through, but lefty Phil Mickelson, we know he's pledged his allegiance, and that's what sort of backed him into such a corner. I think it'd be great to see him back at the PGA Tour Championship and the Open. But for me, you know, lefty's just made an absolute meal of it the last 6 months or so. I don't know what to sort of gauge of this new league. I mean, Greg Norman, he's not backing down. He just putting himself in the media every single day here trying to make this thing move forward. But we can't sleep on the fact that it's a prize purse, each event, $25 million. You look at the Mexico Open this week, $7 million. Which one would you play in? No cut, 40-man field. Lefty, now what, 51, 52 years of age? He's getting past it. A lot of these guys are. They're chasing the bag. So for me, I don't think it's a real shock. We knew this was coming from Phil Mickelson. I question the standard of golf. I think it's going to be a bit of a gimmick, but but I definitely don't think it's going away. I mean, what has Lefty been up to? I mean, imagine him missing out on the Masters, a tournament which means so much to him. And it's interesting to see what's going to happen moving forward. If they're going to allow him to play in the majors, it sort of, you know, operates independently of the PGA Tour. So I don't think they can sort of roadblocking from that. But hey, 10 events a year, playing for, you know, $25 million purses, showing up to the majors, that's not a bad schedule for a 51-year-old coming off a big win last year. Phil Mickelson, you throw in Tiger Woods, all this other young talent, the PGA Tour, it doesn't sleep. And I mean, it's events like this week on the PGA Tour, Davis, that make me question the sustainability of the tour. I mean, we have so many events week in, week out. You look at this field, of course, we've got John Rahm this week down in Mexico, but other than that, there's no one. It's like a Korn Ferry Tour event. It's like a Champions Tour event. So I really do think if these guys open the floodgates, see you later. It's going to be on for young and old. I can only imagine the PGA Tour. They've got to be treading very cautiously right now. But I turn it back. Everyone's saying, well, look, how can they stop independent contractors from going to play in other tournaments? I don't think they can. And once we see a couple of them doing this, they say, hey, Lefty's doing it. Some of the other guys, Westwood, Poulter, and they're allowed to come back. It's not such a bad idea. Interesting times, you know, indeed.
I do think one of the ways that they can put the pressure on is a lot of the very important events are invitational. So not all of them, right? Some of them you just qualify, right? You qualify for the Masters, you qualify for the US Open, you qualify for the British Open. But Arnold Palmer, you know, some of the Players Championship is an invitational. A lot of these are invitationals, and the PGA Tour is going to have the relationship with these sponsors and with these courses and everything. Like if Cramer Hickok, who we're about to talk to, if he says, I'm never going to win a major, I'm going to be honest with myself, I'm never going to be good enough to win a Masters, I'm never going to win the Players Championship, why don't I just set up my great-grandkids' grandkids with the most amount of wealth I can? I think Robert Garrigus was the first guy to say he was for sure playing on this tour. And I think for someone like that, it makes sense. But on the other hand, what John Rahm said, I also think makes a ton of sense, which is Rahm says, I'm the best player. No one's better than me. I'm going to win multiple major championships. Why would I choose to, and it's not like John Rahm is not rich, right? It's not as if John Rahm is hurting for money. He makes plenty right now. So how many more millions would you trade for a major championship? I think that's a question that Rory and Cantlay and Xander and Rahm are going to have to ask themselves. And I don't think a lot of those guys are going to leave if they can't play in the majors.
No, certainly. And I mean, these guys who are established, you know, in the top 10, top 20 in the world rankings, it's all about legacy, and their currency is major victories. But I do think this one could progress where in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it's a totally different outlook, especially for the guys who are maybe, you know, on the Korn Ferry Tour now, making their way to the PGA Tour. And it's like any professional sport. Some guys are chasing rings, they're chasing championships, where other guys, they're very good at it. This is their job. This is what they can make a lot of money doing. I'm going to make the most money. Try and retire by, you know, 31 years of age. Not all these guys want to go and do, you know, the sort of Walk of Fame, you know, Champions Tour and play until they're 55, ceremonial first tee shots. It's different. You know, that's sort of part of the tradition of golf, but I think we're sort of getting more and more away from that, where, you know, we're moving towards a more athletic sport where some of these young guys are, you know, they've got the swing speed, they're built like athletes coming through the college system, where they're going to be programmed to say, this is a job, let's make the most bang for our buck while we can. So very interesting times, and we haven't seen anything like this maybe ever for the PGA Tour. We've heard whispers of it, but actually coming to fruition like this with Greg Norman, all this money behind him, different beast. But for me, I'm traditionalist. I love the PGA Tour. I don't think it's ever going to be topped. You know, for golfers, we're old school. The Masters, the Green Jacket, I mean, how sensational was that tournament? And, you know, for a guy like Tiger Woods to come out and pledge his commitment, everyone still looks up to Tiger Woods. Even, you know, I was back in Australia, I've got six-year-olds asking me about Tiger Woods. I'm like, this is amazing. You know, 30 years ago, he was the man. He still is today. So I think that's going to help the PGA Tour for at least the next decade or two.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think if Tiger's commitment one way or the other was probably the most important commitment to get for either party. So let's talk real quick about the Mexico Championship. This is the first time that they are playing this PGA Tour event. And generally, this is my process for South American golf events, right? Which the PGA Tour does every once in a while. They play in Corrales sometimes. They played in Costa Rica. They played in Puerto Rico. This is always my take. These are fancy resort courses. These are -8, -18, -19, -20. These are going to be par fives where guys have birdie putts. So what do I do for these events? I approach them one of two ways. It is old veteran tour players who are not going to make mistakes, and they're going to be able to get to minus 12 just by avoiding bogeys pretty much throughout the course of the weekend. And young guys who hit the ball a country mile, have a horrible short game, and they get lost at really tough PGA Tour courses because they can't finagle their way around, but they're not going to find themselves in that trouble. So the guys I have highlighted this week are a good mix of those guys. Cameron Tringali, Aaron Wise, Cameron Champ, Kramer Hickok, Joseph Bramlett, and Nick Taylor. My favorite bet on the board at the numbers you can get is Cameron Champ. Guys' game is built for these resort courses. So what are you expecting that we see this weekend?
Mate, for anyone out there, if you're looking for the prototype, this is a Cameron Champ golf course. There's no rough. There's no penalty out there this week. Distance is a big factor for me. So I like a guy like Cameron Champ. Just get out there and bomb it. Give yourself easier birdie looks. I think 18 under is being generous. I think we see 25, 26 under par. These resort courses cannot guard themselves against the PGA Tour standard of golf. We saw it at the Century Tournament of Champions. I mean, Matty Jones got it to 32 under par to finish third. So I think this one's going to be an absolute birdie shootout. Go the value. You've got Rahm and then no one else. We've got no course history here, so you've got to look to form. I like Tringali. This is a guy who's been knocking on the door yet to get the breakthrough win. But this is the week to do it. These are the circumstances. It's going to feel different. They're not going to have a lot of fans down there in Mexico to watch this one. So I think it's going to feel more like a bit of an exhibition, Korn Ferry Tour event for some of the bigger names. So I'm looking at a guy like Tony Finau at 19-1. He hasn't had great form on the PGA Tour, but again, not a lot of these guys have. There's a lot of missed cuts, even amongst your favorites this week. So I like Finau at 19-1. If you want a bit more value, Chris Kirk knocking on the door, 32-1, trying to get back in the winner's circle. Again, I touched on Matty Jones earlier, 50-1, wind specialist. My Aussie man, if it gets windy, he's going to tear this one up. And then again, I've got to touch a bit of value in there. Sahith Theegala at 50-1, 8K in the fantasy. I think this is the guy who's going to get that breakthrough win. I think it's going to be soon. And Adam Svensson, the Canadian, Svenny baby, coming off a good finish there at the Honda Classic. He's a gamer, and he can get him at 150-1. Value, baby. Mexico Open, that's where I'm looking this week, Davis.
All right, there we go, everyone. The Mexico Open got you set for betting and DFS this weekend. Thanks to Dubs for joining us. We'll be rejoined by George Kurtz here in a moment as we head into fantasy or reality for the day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, rejoined by George Kurtz. But before we get to fantasy or reality, I need to remind everyone that you need to be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. And once you do that, you can actually become an interactive part of our show. If you tweet at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV, or you can just tweet, you can tag me, you can tag Craig Mish, and you can get a question in Fantasy or Reality. So you could ask us, Fantasy or Reality, Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. Fantasy or Reality, the New York Yankees are going to win the World Series. Fantasy or Reality, we should go back to the super happy fun ball era in Major League Baseball. I would definitely say reality to that one. So if you want to have your question on the show, just tweet at us at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. And now George and I are going to play a little game we like to call Fantasy or Reality. All right, so, you know, we knew that Craig was going to be hosting Pharrell Coast to Coast today, so we had to include a little bit of New York Yankees trivia here in fantasy or reality. Unfortunately, I don't think it's the kind of Yankees trivia that George wants to hear. But this week, Major League Baseball published a letter that was to the New York Yankees, which detailed basically they cheated. They stole signs. This was in reference to incidents back in 2017. Now, of course, many people in baseball, George, say, if your signs are that easy to steal, that's on you. You know, it's not on the team stealing the signs. So I think the important question here with baseball, because, I mean, how many cheating scandals has baseball had? We had greenies and amphetamines in the 70s. We had steroids in the 90s and the 2000s. We had the whole Astros, you know, trash can banging controversy. I mean, we've had so much controversy in baseball. So fantasy or reality, George, there are different levels of cheating.
Yeah, of course there are. This is definitely a reality. Every team cheats. And I mean every team in every sport, they cheat. But as you said, it's how are you cheating? What are you doing? And did you get caught? Right? But every team is cheating. The Yankees and Red Sox went above, right? As you said, if your signs are that easy to decode, it's on you. That being said, you should not be able to use technology during the game to try and decode them, right? That's what I don't like. You got a coach in the dugout who's staring at the whatever, and he can make out your signs? That's on you. A player at second base, he can figure it out? That's on you. Make him harder to get there. You know, but other than that, you should not be using video replay. You certainly shouldn't be banging any trash cans or anything like that, using whistles or whatever it might be. That's the problem. You can't have somebody in center field flashing lights and signals. We know this has gone on throughout the years here. All right, so you shouldn't be able to do anything of that. But anybody on the field, any player on the field who's just doing it with his eyes from the dugout or from the bases, from the field, whatever it might be, I have no issues with that. No issues at all with that. That's been going on since baseball began here, trying to read the signs here. But it's also why I like the little thing they're using, like the thing on the wrist here. Press a button, it tells the pitcher, hey, fastball outside. That stops all that. You know, I don't have an issue with that. Fine. Speeds the game up a little bit, not to worry about it. Another way to do it, by the way, you think someone's stealing signs, you have to catch up beforehand. You know, hey, call for an outside curveball, but I'm going up and in with a fastball. All right, and when that sign gets relayed, that's going to be, you know, a breaking pitch on the outside, and all of a sudden, the hitter has a fastball coming at his head. Guess what? He's not going to want to know what the sign is anymore. He's going to be ticked at the guy at second base for relaying the wrong sign, even though he probably relayed it right. And that's how they used to stop that back in the olden days. You think you're relaying it? Let him think one thing's coming, you throw another. That'll stop that also very quick.
Yeah, no, I think that's accurate. I'm with you, and I think this goes for all sports, right? A form of gamesmanship that happens in the NFL. You'll see this quite often. You know, player gets released from the New England Patriots. The Patriots happen to be playing the Buffalo Bills in Week 14, and the Buffalo Bills sign that player to their practice squad, right? Who just got released by the Patriots, and they might go, hey, what's, you know, what do we got going on in the playbook there? What's your verbiage, right? What do you call this route? What does it mean when Peyton Manning says, you know, X, Y, or Z? And, it's probably not cheating, but it is taking advantage of the structure of the system, which, by the way, is like really basically what sports is. You know, when you and I are on the show and we're talking about, oh, you know, how does a team stay under the salary cap? Oh, the Baltimore Ravens trade up for the 32nd pick in the NFL draft instead of the 33rd pick because they want to have the fifth year option for Lamar Jackson. I mean, is that cheating? No, but it is gaming the rules of your sport to gain an advantage that other teams don't have. So I think, you know, there is a huge difference between, you know, for example, taking steroids or, you know, what the Houston Astros did, which was a conversation that arose when this Yankees letter came out, as people are like, oh, well, you know, no one's mad at the Yankees for stealing signs, but we were so mad at the Houston Astros. Although in the end, what punishment did the Houston Astros get? They didn't really end up getting punished, which I think is sort of interesting. So I am saying reality as well. There are different levels of cheating. All right, our next one, very easy, very simple answer. The NFL draft, the first round, is going to air on Thursday night. Then we're going to come back on Friday night for rounds 2, 3, and 4. And then I believe rounds 5, 6, and 7 are going to start at noon on the NFL Network. But easy question. fantasy or reality, you will watch the NFL draft instead of a game, right? So it could be the Yankees game, NBA playoffs, whatever. Fantasy or reality, George, you will watch the NFL draft instead of an actual live game that is happening.
Well, this doesn't apply to me. I have three TVs above my fireplace. All right, so I'll be watching both. The draft will be on with the sound. I'll probably watch it through ESPN or NFL Network, whatever I'm feeling like there, but that's what I'm going to do. And the other two TVs will have games on. Odds are I'll have a laptop or two with a game on from ESPN Plus as well. So this doesn't apply to me. If we're going back in the day of where you only have one TV like most of us had, there'd be a lot of channel switching going on. All right, okay, you want to hear the pick? Then you go, you're going to go back and forth a million times, right? Hit the, going to hit that last button, that back button to whatever game you want to watch there. You know, because there's a lot of dead time. You know, they got 10 minutes before, in between each pick here. And so maybe you don't want to hear all the talk going on from Mel Kiper or whatever it might be about who they think they're going to go on with here. But for me personally, I'll have both on here. Like I said, draft will be on a smaller screen so I can see it and I can hear the talk here. But I'll have games on every other screen I have.
Yeah, stone cold reality for me. I am way more interested in what happens in the NFL draft than I am interested in what is going to happen with, you know, whatever games are on Thursday night in Major League Baseball, Thursday night in the NBA, probably the game I'm actually, there are a bunch. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm going back on this. Maybe it is a fantasy because all three games that are on during the NFL draft are game sixes, right? So we have Philadelphia up 3-2. We have the Suns up 3-2 on the Pelicans. And I think most interesting for me is the Mavericks-Jazz series, just because I think that'll be the last time we ever see Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell ever play together if they lose that game. But I guarantee my primary screen will be the NFL draft, and I'll be I'm probably going to be on a Zoom call with some of my friends from high school and from college because we all want to know, you know, what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs picks. So, yeah, I'm going to be locked in on the draft. So I'm sticking with my first answer, which is reality. I will watch the NFL draft over a game. All right, finally now we have another fast food promotion coming from McDonald's on Wednesday. They are selling a six-piece chicken McNugget for just $1, George. So fantasy or reality, you are going to take yourself today. You're going to hop in your car. You're going to drive. You will go to McDonald's for a $1 six-piece chicken McNugget, fantasy or reality.
Now, I didn't know this promotion. I had no idea it was one, six-piece McNuggets at McDonald's. I haven't had a McDonald's McNugget in probably, I don't know, 30, 40 years. It's not, I like the nuggets from Wendy's better. So if I want nuggets, that's where I'm going to go. I'll go to Wendy's or McDonald's. If I go to McDonald's, probably going to get a burger. But I try and stay away from both places, actually. That being said, yeah, $1 for six McNuggets. I mean, hard to pass that up. And if my kids find out about it, I don't think there's any doubt I'll be there later on tonight. So I'm not going to go on my own here. But if my daughters, if one of them happens to figure it out, I'll probably take them. You know, it'd be hard to pass up that. They both love their McNuggets. Absolutely. So, I can be convinced to go. Am I going to go on my own? I don't see it. I'm just not a big fan of McDonald's McNuggets. But if the kids want to go, I'll take them later.
Yeah, you know what? I don't get McDonald's very often. I actually, George, I prefer their breakfast. Like, if I was going to choose one fast food breakfast, honestly, I might even take a McDonald's Egg McMuffin over homemade biscuits and gravy, you know, bacon and waffles or whatever. I just my mouth is watering right now, even thinking about the McMuffin. I don't go for lunch all that often. You know, if I'm gonna eat a 800 calorie lunch or whatever, I probably am not gonna go to McDonald's. I'll get, you know, go to like a mom and pop place or something like that. But I don't think I can turn down the $1 six-piece McNugget. I think that is too good of a deal. So sometime this afternoon, I'm gonna leave my desk. I'm gonna go hop in the car. I got a McDonald's right down the road for me. I wonder if there are stipulations on this deal. Can you only get a six-piece McNugget, or can I order two separate six-piece McNuggets and get 12 McNuggets for $2? Because if I can do that, I'm doing that for sure. And also, I mean, George, you know this. You leave the house to go get food, and you come home empty-handed to your wife or your kids and there's no food for them, that is like asking for a war inside your house. So if I'm going, I gotta bring back McNuggets for my partner. There's no way I can come back in empty-handed and expect to survive.
Oh, absolutely. I would get eviscerated if I did that. I've always make sure to ask the wife, even with the kids, because let's face it, if you don't bring something home, they're eating it anyway. You're not eating it. So you're dead either way. All right. My kids are like, oh, thanks. It's all, I got nothing left now. You know, so yes, absolutely. You got to bring home something for the kids. Hell, my dogs will be staring at me too. So I got no choice here going that direction. I probably won't do it on my own here. Probably just, McNuggets aren't going to do enough for me here as far as going to get. I'm not a big fan of their sauces either. I just prefer Wendy's for that thing. But for a dollar, yeah, the more you keep talking about it, the more I realize, I'm going to have to go there. As you say, it's not even that far away. It's maybe 5 minutes down the road for me. My biggest issue would be, what if there's a line now? Because everybody and their mother's going to go today for these dollar McNuggets, right? You got to deal with this. And sometimes that line, the drive-thru can be like around the block. So that I won't look forward to.
What is your go-to sauce for McDonald's? Which one are you taking for yourself?
I like for McDonald's would be honey mustard. Wendy's is sweet and sour. I don't like the McDonald's sweet and sour sauce at all. So I'll go honey mustard, even though I am not a big fan of honey mustard. I'm very peculiar on my honey mustard. Most places don't have the kind of honey mustard I really like.
Yeah. I go for the sweet and sour for McDonald's. I mean, I know it's basically just sugar, kind of melted down and put into a packet or whatever, but I can't help it. My mouth is watering right now. We're going to hop off this show. We're going to do the Sports Grid 60, which is coming up. I'm getting in the car and I'm going to get myself some McNuggets. I don't think that I can say no. And I would encourage all of you to not do it. Don't be like me. Stay strong. Don't go get the McNuggets. We're going to leave. We'll be back with the Sports Grid 60 here in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. And as always, we're going to close out the show with a little thing we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
All right, now mine's easy. I love the draft tomorrow, and I'll certainly be watching. I love everything about it. I don't care if teams take their full 10-minute allotment, even if they know who they're going to pick 1 second in. The only frustrating part to me is, listen, the Adam Schefters of the world, Ian Rappaport's of the world, do you really have to announce every pick on Twitter, on social media before it comes in? I get it. You guys know what you're doing. All right, you have sources. You can find out. You don't need to ruin it for us, okay? And it's hard to stay off Twitter. All right, because I want to find out other information that's on there. So I just wish they wouldn't announce the pick, every pick, before it comes on the TV here. I wish there was a rule that they're not allowed to do this. Guys, you're good at what you do. We get it. You don't need to prove it, 68 times during this draft here. I don't need to see you announcing it literally 10 seconds every time before it gets announced by Roger Goodell.
Yep, I don't enjoy the tipped picks either, unless there's some sort of edge to be had, right? So if there is a way that you can bet on a selection before it happens and you happen to get, a little nugget here from Schefter, from Rap Sheet, from Tom Pelissero, I don't mind that. And my Sports Grid 60 is just on betting in the draft in general, which is, these sports books, they know they're going to lose. I was telling Dubs, these books know they are likely to lose on these props and they use them as a customer acquisition tool. And, I don't see that many people taking advantage of it. I think, compared to the amount of people who are going to bet a Yankees game on Thursday night, I don't think the NFL draft props are going to get that much action. So if you're out here betting, be getting in on these NFL draft bets because they are largely profitable. Thank you to George for hopping in with me on the show today. Thank you to Brett. Thank you to all of our friends over at LTN for helping the show stay off the ground. We're going to leave you here. Stay tuned to Sports Grid for the rest of the day. Stay on the grid.